This is exciting. So anyhow, be ready to read. We're going to read three sections of Scripture, and it'll be straight through in chapter 39. I'll let you know when we're ready for that. So, open in prayer.
Sure. Lord God, thank you, Father, for this blessing that we can meet tonight, Lord. Thank you for Brother Jim for blessing him with the time to study your word and to prepare, Lord, and to bless us, Lord, the body. We thank you, Lord, for technology that this message can be recorded, Lord, that others can listen to it and can make it. And anyone, Lord, who's underway, we pray, Father, that you keep them and, Lord, that you bring them here safe, Lord. Lord, thank you. We do pray, Lord, that you open, Lord, our eyes, our heart, Lord, and Father, to hear, Lord, to see your truth, Lord, in the Bible, Lord, and Father, what you reveal to us, we pray that your spirit, Lord, would Lord, use and apply these things, Lord, in our walk, Lord. And also, Lord, cause us to rejoice in you, Lord, and the healing of your
Amen. Amen. Well, tonight is Genesis number 82 in our numbering order. We started at 1. We're at 82 in Genesis. And this is chapter 39, verses 1 through 23, which is the whole chapter, and it's titled, Joseph Blessed of God. So anyhow, the last time we met, we looked at what chapter? Chapter 38, which was Judah and Tamar. But right before that, we looked at chapter 37, and there we left Joseph bound as a common slave. This was brought about by nothing less than the hatred of his brothers. And it was a jealousy that burned within them about Joseph, about that dream that he had. And all Joseph was doing was serving his father, trying to locate these brothers where they were out there. It took him a while to find them. And what did they do? They took him and threw him in a pit, deep pit. Brokenhearted, in tears, all his brothers debated to kill him. Judah comes up with the idea, let's sell Joseph, when providentially these Ishmaelites, traders, happen to just be passing by, so-called happen to be just be passing by. But we believe it was by the providence of God that these traders were just going by that route. Joseph was stripped down and sold into slavery and on his way to Egypt. The question is, what was going through Joseph's mind on his way down to Egypt? Now, you got to realize, that was a long journey. And most likely, he was bound and tied to that wagon train or something like that. Maybe he's thinking, what of my dream that I had, that my brothers will be worshiping me? What about that dream? He may have thought, I've been abandoned even by God at this point. You know, we might have thought that if we were Joseph, or we were in that same situation. Well, as I said, this may have gone through his mind. We'd never know exactly what Joseph was thinking, but this was a long journey on the way to Egypt. As we saw in chapter 37, his brothers had abandoned him. But remember this, God never abandoned Joseph, as we'll see tonight. Joseph was blessed of God amidst the evil of his brothers. He was blessed of God on his very rough journey on that way down to Egypt. He was blessed of God even on his arrival to Egypt. He was blessed of God in Potiphar's house. He was blessed of God even in prison. God blessed him each one of these times. In all of these circumstances, God's blessing came through what? Grace, the grace of God was upon Joseph. And this is if you remember one saying tonight, remember this: the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And brothers and sisters, I was telling you before, this is a chapter that is very, very special, that sets up everything that comes after this in Genesis. Everything that we're going to find about Joseph's when he's down there, it's all set up in chapter 39 here. We're going to find out all the ins and outs, and that the Lord was with him and providentially, which caused all the rest to happen. the Lord was with Joseph. His success was because the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord in the original, as I was saying a moment ago, is Yahweh, Jehovah, as some call him. And what this is the covenant name for God. When you see the Lord in capital letters, that represents the covenant. Some titles of God represent his power, his all, you know. El Shaddai means God Almighty, powerful God. But when you see the Lord in capital letters, or you can get this from maybe the King James will bring this out, or even the New King James, they'll say the Lord. That is Yahweh. That's the covenant name for the Lord. Used some 8 times in this chapter. We won't see this name used again until the end of Genesis. It's Yahweh who is with Joseph, the covenant God. And that's really important, brethren. Get that in your heads. And yet, we see yet this faithful young man, unmatched anywhere in the Old Testament. There is not one matched to Joseph. Joseph was such a wonderful, faithful young man, used by God mightily. And so, this is how we'll look at this chapter tonight. It's all God. It's all God behind. The Lord was with Joseph. And yet, Joseph was obediently faithful to God in every area that we're going to see. Every area. And again, we're looking at a large section of Scripture tonight, brethren. A full chapter. Full chapter. And so, the layout that we're going to go open up this chapter is in 3 sections. Section 1 and 3 are like bookends to the second section, which is the major section which we'll be looking at tonight. Sections 1 and 3. And section 2 is the main section of this chapter. And here's section 1. The Lord was with Joseph is verses 1 through 6. Then the second section, which is the major section we'll be spending our time on tonight. The awareness of the Lord's presence enables Joseph and his people to resist temptation. Let me mention that again. The awareness of the Lord's presence enables Joseph and his people in all time to resist temptation. And then third, the Lord was with Joseph amidst the persecution and in prison. And that'll be verses 21 through 23. That second section is verses 7 through 20. So, why don't we open up our Bibles and we'll have Brother John, you want to read the first section? It'll be verses 1 through 6, the Lord was with Joseph.
Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance.
Beautiful. Thank you, brother. The first section stresses very strongly that the Lord was with Joseph. I had those things. Every time I heard them, they stood out to me. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. The Lord was even with Potiphar. You know, stood out. The Lord was with Joseph. That all he had prospered. But we also see that Joseph in this section, the faithful servant. Joseph was the faithful servant. And I'm amazed at Joseph's faith. If we remember what just happened to Joseph, you know, keep that in your mind. What just happened to this young man, and yet we see this faith so quick? Almost killed by his brothers. Sold as a common slave. The long trek to Egypt. As a slave, how long could that probably took a month for them to get there in the heat, the dirt, the grime. From what I could find out about this trade route that the Ishmaelites traveled on, these were well-established trade routes, it must have taken him very close to his hometown of Hebron. So he's on this trade route, shackled probably as a slave, walking around, and he's looking up and seeing his home on the hills of Hebron where his father lives and he lived. I'm sure there was many tears that fell as he passed and thought about his father Jacob, most likely, as I say, shackled as a common slave on that long distance. But on his arrival in Egypt, he's brought to the slave trader's pit. The Ishmaelites must have prodded him up to the selling block. Providence has it that the chief of the guard happened so providentially to be there, and he buys Joseph. Potiphar was a very important man in the court of Pharaoh. This was, I did some research on this. This man was very, very powerful, probably was in the presence of the Pharaoh many times or in that area. And so the Lord blesses Joseph with a safe trip to Egypt. And the Lord providentially has Potiphar buy young Joseph. Let's look a little deeper into verses 2 and 3. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, again Yahweh, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Not only does the Lord make Joseph prosper, but God makes Potiphar even prosper. That's amazing. The word in the original is tzalak, to prosper. This is the same word that we've seen way back in Abraham's, when Abraham sent his slave, is a person that worked in his house, to go get a wife for Isaac. He used this same word in chapter 24, if you want to look there, chapter 24, verse 42. It says, And this day I came to the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go. And in verse 56, it gives what happened. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing that the Lord has prospered me. The Lord has prospered me. He's prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master Abraham. In our text, verse 3, the Lord made all he did prosper in his hand. Listen, brethren, this was no ordinary prospering like people talk about prosperity today. You know, give 10 and you're going to get 100. This was no ordinary prospering like that kind of prospering that you see these guys. Not at all. This was a supernatural prospering that was brought about in this family at the hand of Yahweh, the hand of the Lord. It was a phenomenal, extraordinary prospering that even Potiphar noticed right away. It stood right out. So much so that Potiphar makes him overseer over everything. Could you imagine that? This young slave comes in, a Hebrew slave at that, and what does he do? He puts everything in... He sees the hand of the Lord on this young man so much, he puts him in charge of everything that he has, except the food that he ate. The prosperity didn't stop there, but it even spread outward. Verse 5 says, so it was from that time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had. The Lord blessed Joseph, the Egyptian's house, for Joseph's sake. See, the Lord blesses his household even. And the blessing of the Lord was on all he had in the house, and in the field, not even in the house. It goes out, the prospering went out to all in the field. Whatever they grew, probably whoever took care of them. The prosperous blessing flowed to Potiphar's entire household. That's amazing. And it, you know, this brings to mind, remember what God said to Abraham in chapter 12, verse 3? What did he say? I will bless those who bless you. I will bless those who bless you. And this is, I believe, a manifestation of that right here. And so verse 4 says, so Joseph found favor in the sight and served him. Favor is the word for grace that we see throughout the Old Testament. It's translated either favor or grace, but this is the word that we get grace. Potiphar graced Joseph. In other words, he graced him. Not as God would grace one, but he graced Joseph. And as he did so, God prospered who? Potiphar. In other words, he shows kindness and favor to Joseph. And what does God do in return? He shows kindness and favor to Potiphar. This was an overflowing prosperity, brethren, that Potiphar also experienced at the hand of God. So, brethren, our first section is key. God was with Joseph and all he did, and it spread out to those who were with him. God was with Joseph. Just as God is with us, we got to remember, God is also with us. His name is prophesied as what? Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God with us. And his name is the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. And I hope that stirs your soul as it stirs my soul, thinking about that. The same God who was with Joseph, brethren, is the same God who's with you and you and you and you. I hope that stirs your soul too. And so our first section ends on verse 6. And before we move on, it says, so he left all that he did in Joseph's charge. And because of him, Potiphar had no concern about anything but the food that he ate. Joseph's now in charge of everything except Potiphar's food. And the reason being this, when you see this, that might stand out as odd to you. Why isn't he in charge of his food? Basically, the Egyptians had this religious thing that they had to be apart from you know, definitely from the Hebrews. So even though he's such a powerful person, and so I believe that's why that's there. They had that ritualistic thing, you know, that they're just as a Jew today might eat kosher and separate. He wants it all done properly, but for a different reason. And this last section, this last sentence is a transition that sets the stage for our second point. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. You know, this is the only time we see this coupling of this word, in form and appearance. There's one other time that we see it, though. The only other person this double honor is given to is who? His mother. His mother. Yeah, we see this in chapter 29, verse 17. It says, Rachel was beautiful in what? In form and appearance. The double honor of that in form and appearance is brought out. Joseph was well aware of God's favor. His grace, his kindness was upon Joseph's life, as we'll see in this second section that we're about to touch on. And this second head is the awareness of the Lord's presence enables his people to resist temptation. This is going to be very applicable to our lives, brothers and sisters here. And this is going to cover verses 7 through 20. Brother Bruce, you want to read that?
And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Mm. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand, and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me and to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison.
Thank you, Brother Bruce. Wonderful. Well, what's happening in this main section? This could be a simple case of an old woman lusting after a young man. Simple case of that, which we see happen all the time. Or it could be God testing Joseph. God's testing Joseph. Will he be obedient? Now, God knows everything, but this could be a test for Joseph. Well, one thing's for sure. We'll never know if either one is the case, or it could be a combination of both of them. But what we do know is Joseph was obedient. That we know. Let's dig deeper into this temptation, because, brethren, this was a great temptation. You know, as men, you guys know what temptation is in this area. This was a great temptation. Joseph was a slave in the house that they owned. He was their property by all rights, to do with him as they liked. Joseph was far away from his family, far away from anyone who could say, oh, Joseph did this or Joseph did that. Joseph was most likely very lonely, probably shaken by that trip that he was on. Maybe he thought, maybe you could think that he could think, oh, nobody's going to know what I'm going to do here if I do this. And lastly, he's a 17 or 18-year-old young man, and we know what happens with 17 and 18-year-old men. They're full of themselves. So this was a great temptation to Joseph. But what did Joseph do? He refused and obeyed the Lord. This section unfolds, brethren, in two cycles, in cycles of two. There are two episodes of temptation and refusal in this section that Brother Bruce just read. Two episodes of temptation and then refusal. And there's also two episodes of false accusations, and we see that two times also. Now, first of all, in verse 7, what does she do? She cast her longing eyes on Joseph. Each time it says straight out, she says, lie with me. Now, that's code for, let's have, intimate relationship. We'll put it that way. Let's have intimate relationship. We could say it differently. But that's biblical language for, let's do it. But what's Joseph's reply? First he says, Potiphar has made me as great as he is in this house. I am equal with Potiphar in his house. But what did he say? You shall not touch my wife. That's the only thing that you shall not touch. And he abided it. Listen in verse 8b, it says, behold, because of me, my master has no concern for anything in this house. And he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater. Listen to that. He is not greater in this house than I am. And that's not boasting. Nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself. Talking to the she's nameless, but except for yourself, because you are his wife. But more importantly, here's why Joseph was faithful. Now, that is true what he just told her, but here's why. He says, how can I do such a great wickedness and sin against God? That stood out when you were hearing that text being read. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So as much as he defends, I'm equal with Potiphar in his house, but he says, don't touch my wife. As much as that's right, that's the moral thing there. But more importantly, how can I sin against God? Joseph refused outright. Nothing of, oh, how honored I am that you would, ask me to do this to you. Or no debates, I really can't do this. It was just no debates at all here. No flirtations, as we hear people do today. Oh, I'm honored that you, would want to do this with me. No, none of that. Joseph's defense was what? The Lord. The Lord. The second of the first cycle is verses 11 through 12. And let's read that. But one day when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of that house. Another temptation and another refusal. See, that's the second one in that cycle. One commentator says, Joseph's refusal was possible because he was convinced God had chosen him for a special task. And also, God had prospered him to give him these responsibilities that he had. Joseph had evidenced God's plan in his life from the rise of that pit that his brothers put him in. Remember, his brother put it. Now Joseph's saying, look, God's at work in my life. I can see it. And young Joseph enjoyed and lived for this presence in his life. Brethren, the question begs, and brothers and sisters, the question begs to be answered. Are you convinced that God is with you? Are you as that convinced as Joseph was that God is with you? If you're saved, it's a fact. Matthew 28:20 says, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But more than that, you also have the Holy Spirit within you. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And brethren, these are facts. for anyone who's a believer. These two things are all the strength that you need to go through any temptation or anything that comes your way. And we got to keep this in mind. When sin rears its head, remember that. Pay attention to what's the nature of that sin in your life and the timing. Sometimes sin attacks us in the morning or sin attacks us at night. You know, remember these timing. If you abide in these little sins, it'll get greater and greater in your life. We've seen this happen over and over. You know, sometimes we think, it's just this little sin. I'm just doing this little sin. But each time we play into the hands of sin in our lives, it builds and builds and can explode into something very ugly. It'll gnaw at your flesh every day. Remember this, sin is against God, as Joseph brings out wonderfully. Sin is against, and even David brings that out further on. When sin whispers into your ear, or however sin affects you in your life, don't even give it the time of the day. Don't even give it the time of the day. God is with us. His Holy Spirit is within us. It's all the power that you need. And secondly, remember, brethren, God has a calling on your life, just as he has with Joseph. You may not be the savior of the world as Joseph was back then in Egypt, or Joseph will go on to be. You may not be that. But nevertheless, God has a great calling in each of your lives. Just as great. Just as great. God will use you as he used Joseph. As I said, maybe not in that same, for instance, that same circumstances. But whatever your calling is, God will use you, brethren. Don't threaten that calling by giving in whenever sin rears its head. Wherever your weakness may be, it may not be in the weakness that men have. Some women have different weaknesses. But resist the devil, James 4:7 says, and he will flee. And the only way to do that is not by your bootstraps, lifting up your boots, and I'm gonna do this. You do it because you have Emmanuel with you. God is with us. God is with you. And remember, the Holy Spirit lives within you and it will empower you for any circumstances. These two things will empower all of us to turn away, even if you have to run as Joseph ran, even if you have to run as we see in our text. But back to our text. The second double cycle, we've seen that first double cycle of temptation and refusal. Two temptations and refusal. But now we see two cycles of false accusations. The first false accusation is to the men of the house. We see that in verse 14. The second false accusation is to the man of the house, Potiphar, in verse 16. Here we see the wickedness of Potiphar's wife, this nameless woman. To the men of the house, she said in verse 14, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to mock us," or to laugh at us. We see that term in Scripture often, to mock us, to laugh at us. See, she turns it on them. He's not only mocking me, he's mocking you also. And as I said, that could be translated to laugh at us. Then the second false accusation is to Potiphar himself in verse 16. Here's what she says to him. She twists it a little bit. 16b, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought," she's putting it on him, "whom you have brought among us came in to mock me." Now, you know, now it's just on her, you know, to her husband. She twisted the story. First it was Joseph mocked us. And to Potiphar, Joseph mocked me. The one you brought mocked me. Putting it on him. Interestingly here, we see the verb for mock in Hebrew brings this out. If you look into a word study, it describes an activity that cannot be taken seriously. But she's playing it off as it is serious. And Potiphar heeds her. You know, some commentators believe that Potiphar might not have believed her, but he had to do this to young Joseph. But that's beside the point. Brethren, the lesson here is simple. Some or even many times in your life, obeying God will not get you no earthly glory. Obeying God will not get you no earthly glory. And may even cost you very dearly. Obeying God will not get you glory, earthly glory, and may cost you dearly. Another thing we see here, this is the second time Joseph is stripped of his garments. You know, the second time. First, by his brothers, and now by this evil woman. And the second time, he's going down into another pit. We're going to see him going down into another pit. The first, by his brothers back there in that field, but now by Potiphar himself. But this time, Joseph knows God is with him. God will see him through. And this is brought out in our last head. We're winding down, brethren. And sister, you want to read? Would you want to read? Okay, we're going to read verses 21 through 23.
But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper.
Thank you, sister. This head again, I didn't state the head. The Lord was with Joseph amidst his persecution and in prison. What a magnificent end to Joseph's ordeal in Egypt that we see right here. Yahweh, the covenant name for God, was with Joseph. But also, we see the faithfulness of this young man beyond, like I said, beyond anything we see in the Old Testament. And remember I said this is like bookends. The first section and this second section, they're using almost the same phrases. They're like bookends. But we see that. It's almost a repeat of God's moving where? In Potiphar. What did Potiphar do? He put him in charge of everything that he had. And we see the same thing happening here when he's going into the prison. He's put in charge of everything that he has. This time by the keeper of the prison. But Joseph was a faithful, obedient servant. This is clear from this section here that we see, even in every section that we've seen so far. But it's the Lord who was with Joseph and showed him. In your translation, Lord, it's mercy. But that word is a special word. It's steadfast love. It's steadfast love. And gave him what? Favor again, remember? John, you read that, right? In your section. Gave him favor. Gave him grace in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And I believe, brethren, with all my heart, this section is an evidence of God's approval on young Joseph. God abundantly approved Joseph's faithfulness. And he did so by displaying this steadfast love upon Joseph. The word steadfast love, when you see mercy, you're going to see it translated a lot of ways. It's a good word study to do. If you want to do a word study, I'm going to give you the word in a minute. It's a deep word in the original language. It's chesed. Chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D in transliterating it into English. Chesed. It actually is an attribute of who God is. Chesed is an attribute of God, and it's God displaying an attribute of himself onto Joseph here. That's unbelievable. It's his kindness. You see it translated in text as his kindness. It's his loving kindness. A lot of times you see it translated as loving kindness. His mercy, as in Laura, when Laura's read it. His goodness, his faithfulness, his righteousness, and much, much more. You know, that's why that word is translated so much. It's so packed. It's so packed. It could mean so many things, but it's who God is. It's his chesed. The classic chapter for this, now, we're not going to get into this right now, but is Psalm 136. This is where you see this word over and over. It's used some 26 times in Psalm 136. Dwell on that. Meditate on that tomorrow in your own time. You're going to see that word and do a word study on that. It's very profitable. Chesed. The Lord showed chesed to Joseph. Loving kindness to this young man. God showered upon Joseph his loving kindness, his steadfast love. And Joseph knew one day that God would take him out of that pit. He knew it, as he had done with his brothers. He's taking him out of that pit that his brothers put him into. Different pit, but still a pit. Joseph was faithful knowing that the Lord was with him. You know, the reality is, Joseph was in that prison some 17 years. Now, this doesn't come out in the text, but if you tie the times together, you'll see it was some 17 years, we believe, he was in that pit. And Joseph was faithful the whole time. Text tells us at least that he was faithful all of those long years in prison. Joseph was unique. But brethren, all believers can say this very same thing. The Lord is with you. His name is Emmanuel, Emmanuel. God is with us in Isaiah 7:14 and also Matthew 1:23. His name is even deeper than that, deeper than Emmanuel. Matthew 1:21 says, "And you shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:21. Further, brethren, you are filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit. We see this proclaimed throughout the book of Acts, and this is true of all believers. This is something that we can carry with us. This is something that has implications for all believers. You have the comforter. You have the teacher within you, the one who will guide you in all things, if you just be open to that and not closed. How much more, brethren, do we have? How much more? Well, there is more than that. You have the knowledge of the Bibles in your hand. You know, Joseph didn't have a Bible in his hand when he was in that pit all them years. There was no Bibles at that time. They might have scriptures. You know, scriptures were expensive, even if they had scrolls, even if anything was written down. But brethren, you have the Bible in your hand. You have, as the Latin says, tota scriptura, that basically equals the sum total of all the scriptures. You know the beginning from the ending. You know it all. Joseph didn't have that. You have much, much, much more. And secondly, just like Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Jacob, and now Joseph, we know God has a purpose and plan for each of us, each of you. You may not believe that. You may not act that way. But it's true. But I want to bring out before we conclude, especially for the men, listen closely. How many ministries have been lost for falling into this very sin that we see young Joseph was confronted with? This is a particular sin we see among men, especially in the ministry. You'll see this among men in the ministry. And then also more broader for all of us, whatever you're weak in, whatever you are weak in, if you're not weak in that, some of us are not weak in that area. Many of us are. Remember, God is with you. God is with you. Whenever sin rears its head, remember, Jesus died for that sin. Jesus paid the penalty for that sin. And if you remember that, how can you live in your sin? We have to ask ourselves that question. How can we fall into sin that's been paid for already? And as I said before, remember the Holy Spirit, brethren, is within you. Once you were bound, you know, once I was bound to my sin, I was like Joseph, probably on that thing. You know, every morning I got up, I had to do my drugs or whatever. You know, whatever you're bound, whatever your sin you were bound in, you were bound in your sin. And the Holy Spirit has given you power to say no to that sin. That's the difference between a believer. You know, when I first became a believer, my wife used to say to me, "But you still do this and you still do that." And it took me a while to figure out, you know, I used to be, you know, "Yeah, well, why am I doing these things?" Because we're not purified, and we're not made pure yet, you know. And but the great thing is, I have the ability not to do that now. Where before, you know, you just do it and do it and do it and do it. You might feel bad if you get caught. You might cry. You might ask for even a God in the air to help you. But the next morning you get up, you go do the same exact thing. But now He gives you the power to say no to that sin. Brethren, be convinced of these things. God is with you. God is with us. Be convinced that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for you. And remember Philippians 2:13, which says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Walk in His will for your life. Look to the scriptures. You know, a lot of times people say, "I don't know God's will for my life." Now, every situation might not be printed in Scripture, but you can apply everything in Scripture to everything in your life. Getting a husband, finding a job, whatever the situation would be. Whatever you're going through. Maybe someone is looking for a wife. Maybe you're looking for a job. Maybe you're looking for a ministry. Whatever it would be, you'll find direction in God's Word, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And if you can't find it, ask someone. They'll help you. Remember as we close, brethren, His name is Yahweh. Yahweh, Jehovah, the covenant God. His name is Emmanuel. God is with us. And his name is Jesus. God saves us. Amen. Let us pray, brethren. Father God, we thank you. Thank you so much that you are with us and that you saved us and that the Holy Spirit lives within us. Lord, we take comfort in that, Father God. And our heart breaks for those who don't have that same thing within their lives, Father. Through the storms, people have no hope, and through their daily lives. But we have been blessed, Father God. May we not forget that, Lord, that you are with us. Yahweh, the covenant Lord, is with us. You are in covenant with us, Father God. You have blessed us. Your chesed is upon us, Father God, and we thank you for that. And Lord, our hearts go out to the ravaged people of the storm, Lord. May it drive them to you, those that don't know you, and those who do know you, be comforted. Comforted in knowing that God is with us. God is with us. God is within us. God saves us. And we lift these things to your precious name. Amen.